You're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Rebeller Sports.
4 seconds left.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to RBLR Lightning. As always, my name is Jake Ricker. Alongside me, it's Jose Mataro. It's Matt Gannon. Guys, welcome back to the show. Boy, do we have quite the episode in store for everybody today. We got a lot to talk about, lots of games, ups and downs. Of course, the Stadium Series jerseys that we've all been waiting so much for and are so, we'll get into it later, right? Lots of thoughts about those. Can't wait to get in with all you guys. Welcome everybody in who's joining in with us live. Already see you guys jumping away down in the comments section below. Love to have you here. So excited to get into it with all you guys here for this big episode. But first and foremost, guys, how you doing today?
Doing well. It was a very interesting week of hockey we had. It should be a really fun episode. We've got a lot of topics to cover, but not bad, but definitely a better week than what we got to deal with last week. So I'm doing well. Joe, how about you, my friend?
I'd love to say that I'm doing perfect, but I got a stinger on Sunday. And that's the reason I don't have my lights on in the background. I got took a little bit of a headshot with a collision playing on Sunday. I was kind of skating backwards, and it was a 2-1-2 position. I was the middle guy, and somebody clipped me, and I got a mild concussion out of it. So a little bit of light sensitivity, is dizzy on the ice, still kind of having some issues with it right now. So I'm gonna hang in there for the podcast for a little bit, and then probably dip out a little bit early too, because I got a headache that it's getting a little bit better, but take a few days to kind of go away. And just gotta say, I know what Brandon Hagel kind of feels like, even though mine was probably a lot more minor than the damage he has taken over the course of his career.
Yeah, you're right about that. I mean, he got even more of it in that Panthers game, which we're going to get into for sure here in just a moment. Well, Joe, hopefully you'll feel better very soon. You can join. You fit right in with the Lightning, right? They're all dealing with all those injuries, just like Hagel, like you said. I know Ethan's going to be a little disappointed because he wants more hats.
Yeah, I said to him in the comments, like, maybe a new helmet instead of more hats.
There you go. Absolutely. Well, with that said, let's jump right into it. And I know we're going to want to talk about, the Stadium Series jerseys. We'll get to that a little bit later. We're going to jump right into the games first, talk about some of that because, Lightning just played Florida Panthers. We're fresh off that game. And I want to get into all of that and how the Lightning have done this week because, it's been a weird last couple of weeks, guys. The Lightning overall, they had that stretch where they played so good. They were winning games, felt like they were back on top of the world. They're still very high up in the standings, by the way. Then they had a stretch where it felt like they were playing really good, but they weren't winning games. And now we've kind of seen a mix of going up and down. So, it's been a weird stretch for these guys.
I'd say that, you see guys rise to the occasion. But at the end of the day, you also have realistic expectations for what you can do when you're essentially fielding a AHL defensive squad out there. Kind of thank goodness for J.J. Moser and, for that matter, Radish, because they're still playing at really high elite levels. You're going to come back down to earth eventually, right?
And after a little while, the magic of the rookies is kind of wore off a little bit too. Like they were kind of, punching above their weight for a good while. And you never expected that to last, but at least, the team hasn't fully fallen off a cliff or anything. Again, we've got two wins and, an overtime loss to talk or a shootout loss to talk about this week, but it's just been very up and down. Inconsistency is a huge thing with this team right now. It's starting to, get shades of last year and the year before where, 1 week they're great, the next week it's sell the team. So I hope we don't fall into the consistent cycle of inconsistency because that's you never know exactly where you're at.
Well, let's work backwards for these games. Let's do something a little different this week, and let's start with the you don't like that idea. Let's work backwards here for a little bit for this game, because we just played the Panthers game. I think a little more fresh. That's the big game for us this week. So, Lightning taking on the Florida Panthers. It's always a big rivalry game. We know the history between these teams. The Lightning lose this one 5-2. It was a rough start to this game. Panthers get out to a very early lead. In fact, they eventually go up 4-0 halfway through that second period. But the shorthanded goal, and just you didn't feel great at the start of this game. Bolts do make a push back in the third period. They actually started to look like themselves again, but very too little too late situation. And, of course, the biggest news, Brandon Hagel leaving that game. And the Lightning already dealing with a plethora of injuries. Hedman is out. Vasilevskiy is out. You have McDonough still out. Cernak is out. And now Hagel. So those
you're forgetting probably the biggest name on the Bolts that went out this week as well.
Lilleberg?
Oh, of course, Lilleberg. Yes, how could I forget? Bad on me, I'm sorry. You? But yes, you're right, Lilleberg as well. There's too many injuries for me to remember, Joe.
Yeah.
That's a pretty fair point. And I'd say that the Lilleberg one looked pretty nasty too, because somebody falling on his ankle, and that could be anything from a knee to an Achilles.
Yeah, I think they said he's currently out till like middle or early January or something. So, at least a month, it seems like. So I don't think it's as bad as it looked, but still, a month-long injury is nothing to sniff your nose at. But no, I mean, as far as the Panthers game went, yeah, this one was rough from the start. You didn't really start looking like a team until the third period, even though, Crozier got that goal late in the second period. It really didn't start getting all put together until the third period. And it was for only just a brief second, but you have to admit, man, we were outmatched for pretty much the entire game. And, it was a quick little, good rally the Bolts had. They go up, or, they scratch their way back to, a two goal deficit. And then pretty shortly after that, you feel like you've got all the momentum in the world. And then you give up another goal to make the game 5-2. So you were just skating uphill the whole game. It seemed like the Panthers did a really good job of clogging up the neutral zone and just cutting off the center of the ice, having guys fly right in, late men, just getting the puck to them really well. I don't want to, go too easy on the Panthers here, but I thought they played a really good game. The Lightning just could not match. So it sucks, because they're starting to look pretty good, and they're still missing a lot of big pieces as well, kind of like the Lightning were, 2-3 weeks ago, where you're missing a lot of these top guys and you're, playing way better than you really should be. That's kind of what they're going through right now. So it was kind of a movable force versus an unstoppable object in this game, it seemed.
Well, I mean, we had some chances, that's for sure, as well, when it came to 5 power play opportunities for the Lightning. And in the end, the Panthers end up scoring on one of those. So if we were able to convert on just one of those 5 and not allow a puck in against instead, I mean, that really would have changed the dynamic of the game quite a bit. But still being inept on the power play when you need it most, it hurts, man. It really hurts. And then it also hurts when you let in, 2 goals on 5 shots to start off the game. And, lets kind of the wind out of your sails, just because those are straight shots. They weren't anything that was too magical. But, the fight back is good. But, again, it's too little too late. And that second period was completely visible for the Lightning, a total of 5 shots in the second period when you're down by 3 goals.
Classic Lightning second period.
I missed a lot of this game because I was in Vegas this weekend, and as soon as my flight took off is when puck dropped. I bought the Wi-Fi, I tried to watch the game. Did not go well. Wi-Fi doesn't work too well 37,000 feet up in the air, but I did catch some of it. So no one can question my Lightning fandom ever. I tried, all right? But yeah, from what I got to see, it just seemed like kind of what you said, Matt. And listen, we'll give credit. We're not crazy. The Panthers look good. And they played, I know Paul Maurice said this, one of their best games that they had all season long against the Dallas Stars just before they took on the Lightning. So, hey, listen, Panthers have been really good. Were the Lightning great? No, there was a lot of problems in this game. And a big one is that power play. I've been saying this for weeks now. That power play has
got to change. It is a major issue. You cannot have that many chances that you did in this game, not score and let up a shorthanded goal, by the way. So that is a major issue. How they fix it, I think they're going to need to make some moves to really try and do something, but it's going to be tough.
It's an acquisition, and there's a player that's primed to no longer be on the team if he – I mean, he's had all the opportunities in the world, that being Borgstrand, to bury the puck, even when he's got – I mean, he might be a little bit snake bit right now too, but I don't know that he's got a high enough potential upside to keep him on PP1 just because he's right-handed.
I think his potential upside is there. Again, you know, he's a guy that's good for 25 goals a season, but this is going to be, you know, it's looking like the one outlier. You know, you should, you know, logically think, you know, go with what he's been his entire career. But at the same time, you know, guy's not getting any younger. He's kind of proven, you know, over a quarter way into the season so far that he's really not the guy for it. And he just might not have it anymore. Again, you know, we don't know much about this guy. He's only, you know, played 50 something games with this team. And, you know, he's quickly fallen out of favor with me. I've complained about him for, you know, weeks now, it seems. I think he's got less goals than Gergensen's this year. And, you know, one even strength goal. Everything else has come on the power play. But everything else, I think, I mean, the two other goals. So I might be missing one, but still, he's not getting it done. There's a lot of other factors as well. Like Braden Point, I still think it looks kind of weird in that bumper position, you know, a position he's played so well his entire career. But I noticed a couple times last night where, you know, he's just not expecting the puck, or it bobbles off his stick, something like that. And just
his reaction time looks a little bit slower, or his ability to get his stick free.
Yeah, either one of those two. It looks a little weird there, but something's got to change. I'm not sure what it is. I don't claim to be a power play coach, but there needs to be, you know, moves made. And it seems like they try for like a week and then revert back to form. And this was kind of a revert back to form week.
I'm curious. I got a question for you guys. Where do you think Oliver Bjorkstrand ranks in points on the Tampa Bay Lightning?
For forwards or defensemen, everybody?
For the team, period.
12th.
16th.
So it's actually a lot better than that, believe it or not. Oh. He is 7th on the team in points with 4 goals, 10 assists, 14 points. He is a -5, one of the few that is a minus. And it's funny because the stats, like even this week in the set of 5 games that the Lightning played, Bjorkstrand had 2 goals, 3 assists for 5 points and was a +1. So I know there have been a lot of people frustrated with him, and understandably so, like especially thinking that he was going to be on that power play side. But he's actually been a little better, at least stats-wise. I know stats don't tell you the whole story all the time. They'd have the eye test too. But it hasn't been awful is what I'm trying to point out here a little bit. So maybe he's starting to get a little bit better and things can continue to go in the right direction. Maybe I'm just being an optimist too. I don't know. But I did want to throw that out there about Oliver Bjorkstrand, which is
just 7.5 shooting percentage right now. That's, you know, considering that they're mostly like, or not mostly, but a lot of grade A Kucherov passes and opportunities. That's not good.
No, that is absolutely not good. You're right.
But it's also primed to come up as well. I mean, you know, how, you know, it's kind of like a high shooting percentage. It's kind of going to go down, you know, a low shooting percentage for a goal scorer like he is. You'd expect it to come up a little bit as well. So hopefully that can be the case. But at the same time, I think a lot of his goals and point production does come off the backs of his teammates doing a lot more of the heavy lifting. And this sounds like the Bjorkstrand roast sesh from me right now, but he doesn't look like the guy we got, you know, after the deadline last year. Like, even still, he was a little snake bitten when we got him, but at least you saw some effort there. You know, the play didn't really just die on his stick. So again, I think a lot of the production is coming from his teammates that are setting him up well, and he's just not finishing.
Yeah, man, that's the kind of way it feels right now. Quick comment too here from Lisa. They're trying to shoot it more, but they're not getting it in the net. They've definitely been shooting the puck. They've been out shooting their opponents in these last couple of games. There's no question about that. And I don't disagree with that statement. Do want to mention too, there's no official update on Brandon Hagel and his situation with his injury. The Lightning are not practicing today, so we'll find out more about that tomorrow. But definitely not ideal considering the history, guys, that Brandon Hagel has dealt with. I don't want to get – Cooper did not want to get into the hit specifically, and he was not answering questions like that. But
he doesn't want to spend $25,000.
Yeah, no, he doesn't. There's no disciplinary action coming, by the way, for the hit from Seth.
I mean, that one, you know, there's some screenshots that you can check out on X, and it's so amazingly blatant. You know, a lot of people will call a clean check elbowing, because when you hit the person, you end up raising your arm up in force, almost like if you punch somebody, you're going to follow through. It's a follow through. But this was very different with what Jones did. I mean, you can see when he's several feet away, his elbow is already up at head level, and he's targeting him. Whether he's going to try hit him in the head or hitting him in the chest, either way, he's leading with his elbow, which is not a hockey play. And how it doesn't even get a look, how it didn't get a call on the ice is beyond me. And it just plays more into what happened in preseason. I feel like the first game against the Panthers in November was relatively tame, probably because there was so many high-ranking people within the NHL actually in attendance to that game. And everyone was given a very stern talking to, like the coaches were before, to make sure it didn't devolve. But, you know, enough time has passed, so I guess it wasn't on the forefront of everyone's mind, and then you get stuff like this again, and it's absolutely despicable that the league treats it like a giant joke, doesn't do anything about it. Everyone gets to see it around the league, and that's, you know, good on Cooper for putting a bunch of goons out there in the one game to bring it to everyone's attention, because anyone watching this game can see exactly what happened.
And Michael in the group chat, he pointed out a good point to us as well about every single game we've played the Panthers this year, you know, only two so far, three or four if you want to count the preseason, he's left with an injury, and it's been a targeted injury as well. It's not anything fluke or anything like that. These Panthers players are still upset about the fluke hit on Barkov last year, and it's like, has he not, you know, got his comeuppance for that hit? Are they still really this mad about it? And the answer is yes. And I know there's, you know, repeat offenders for singular players, but it's like at a certain point, the team is targeting him, and I think the league needs to take some sort of action. And I don't know if this is a suspendable hit, this isolated Seth Jones hit on Brandon Hagel. Like, yeah, it's a bad hit. I do think it maybe warrants a major and an ejection, but I don't know if it's like worth, you know, a game of supplementary discipline. It's right on the edge there, but again, you can tell these are all predatory targeted hits on one specific guy who's now has a concussion history, which is a terrible thing you want as a hockey player, especially somebody on your team too. Like, they are targeting his head, not just, you know, going for the knee, going for the arm. Like, you're targeting his brain. And at a certain point, yeah, the league needs to step in, take some action, hand out some suspensions and some fines. So it's getting to a frustrating boiling point for me. It's got there, actually.
Yeah, and the only thing that adds to it is the insult. If you see any Panthers fans online, I mean, I always say that Toronto is you know, a terrible fan base, mostly because they think that they know hockey, but they don't really follow it too well. I think that the Panthers fan base are the most ignorant and classless fan base there is, that actually thinks that these sort of plays are justified, are part of hockey, and if you can't dish it, then, you know, or if you can't take it, don't dish it sort of thing. Like, it's like Hagel was trying to headhunt, even though that was about, you know, 2 inches away from being a completely clean check that Hagel did. If Barkov would have touched that puck, there wouldn't have been anything there. It would have been a completely heavy and clean hit. And now, game in, game out against the Panthers, Hagel's getting targeted, and the fans back it up like it's like this is all good and fun. It's a silly fan base with a bunch of trash fans.
Hey, would trash fans get, you know, a police escort out of the stadium like this? You know, he must be an important figure.
So funny, yeah, backstory on that guy. He was sitting behind Cooper, I guess, he got kicked out of the stadium in the second period and then remained outside to trash talk people as they were leaving for like an hour and a half after he was already kicked out. He remained around until he became enough of a nuisance that he needed to be at least detained. And that basically is the Florida fan base summed up in one picture, right? That's the way that they all act. And, you know, I can't wait for the Panthers to become irrelevant again. It's not going to be too much longer, so that they can just go back to their hole and enjoy other sports that are terrible in Miami.
Not mincing words, is just for the Panthers fans. By the way, I did see, that's one thing I did see on the broadcast, is they showed that fan. They didn't show him getting kicked out, but they showed Cooper like turning around and like kind of paying attention to what was going on. I thought they were going to mention it. They never did. So I didn't know that's exactly what had transpired. But yeah, not a great look if you're a Florida Panthers fan after one of your fans.
Another thing in this game, sorry, Jake. Jake Guentzel getting his first career NHL fight. Like, I saw a lot of people commenting on a lot of the you know, Instagram accounts posting it. They're like, you got to be a real unlikable team, unlikable person for Jake Guentzel to shed the mitts with you and start, you know, punching your face.
It was a
headshot.
Put that comment in there, yeah.
Exactly. Again, this is a guy, you know, almost a 10-year veteran, you know, an 8-year veteran in the league that has never dropped the mitts once. He doesn't even like being in the scuffles with the gloves on, and with no hesitation, no doubt, drops him and starts going against Nico Mikkola, of all people, who's like a man mountain, 6'5 or 6'6, something like that. Like, you got to be just pissed off to no degree to just lose your cool like that. And I got to give Guentzel some credit. He got some shots in on him. For a guy that does not fight, he got some shots in. So I give him major credit for doing that.
I mean, that shows you exactly how serious it is when you are trying to do these plays that are dangerous like that. Like you said, going for someone's head. Obviously, I got you know, a soft spot for concussion injuries right now, or maybe a soft spot on my dome from taking one. But it they suck really, really bad, because it's not like it's something that you can just rehab back from. It's something that you really don't have any control over. Basically, just trying to rest it out, and then it can come back just from another little ding. So, yeah, good on Guentzel for. Showing that he's not going to take it, because, like you said, unlikely guy. But these are serious things that those Panther players are doing.
A couple quick comments here. Everybody's throwing down below. Daniel saying Hagel's starting to have regular concussions. It's a serious problem. Yeah, you don't want him to continue to deal with that. As we've seen many players before, they get taken out of leagues sometimes. You know, they can't play anymore because of extended concussion problems. Hopefully this is nothing too major. Again, there's been no confirmation on any of these injuries right now, as we all know how the NHL and the Lightning kind of operate, but hopefully it doesn't continue to be a problem. Lisa here saying, seems like Hagel has a target on his back. Absolutely. You almost wonder, is, you know, Hagel maybe get taken out of some of these Florida Panthers games in the near future?
No.
Just because, well, you know, if a guy keeps getting hit in the head every single time he's out there against the Florida Panthers, and you want to avoid those concussion problems, it's a thought that maybe crosses your mind. You're probably right, Matt. It's unlikely. But
at the same time, you know, if the league refuses to do any sort of discipline, or, you know, if they want to fine Cooper $25,000 and the Lightning $100,000, but, you know, let the Panthers get away with everything scot-free, maybe send a message. We're not going to play Hagel this game because we know your guys are going to come after him, and we know they're going to get nothing for him. You know, I actually kind of like that.
You said scot-free. Maybe we just need to free Scott and fighting from some of our AHLers.
By the way, the Lightning play the Panthers again right after the Christmas break on the 27th in Sunrise. So there's not going to be a lot of time in between this last game where these two teams are going to go at it again. And it'll be another game to keep your eye on. It'll be very interesting to see how everything gets played out.
All right, gents, I'm going to call it for myself. I apologize. Just I wanted to get in on a little bit.
Joe, no worries at all. Make sure you get better. Get off that injury report for next week.
All right, I'll see you guys next one.
Take care, Joe.
Thanks, guys.
Oops, that was a mistake. I was trying to take poor Joe out of the show, and he left, and I accidentally hit you. My bad. All right, well, we appreciate Joe for jumping in there for that Panthers game.
What a warrior.
Get better. No, concussions are no joke at all. So, well, Matt,
now
we get to have some fun and talk about some of the rest of this stuff.
Kids table.
It's stable. That's a great way to put it. All right. So you want to, should we keep going in reverse here, or should we go back to our regular? Because I wanted to get that Panthers game in because I know Joe did want to talk about it. So what do you think, Matt?
I don't know. You're the host, man. You know, I'll follow your lead.
All right. You know what? It's been a crazy week. We're gonna keep going backwards. Why not? all right. Let's talk about this game for the Lightning and the Islanders. This one was a frustrating one for multiple reasons. One, because I had bet on the game and I really wanted the Lightning to win. And also because, Matt, this was another game you go back to, you know, the Lightning where they were playing very good hockey but were not winning. This is another one of those games that I felt like. And specifically, I don't know what has happened to Sorokin, but that man has the Lightning's number. It's honestly unbelievable. I believe Michael told me this. His record, what do you think his record was coming into this season against the Bolts?
Oh, God. I can't remember if he's been good or bad against us. So, I don't know. Let's pretend he played 10 games against us. I'll go, you know, split down the middle, 5-5 or something.
So, I can't find the exact text, but I believe he told me it was 3-7. I know it was a losing record. And then all of a sudden this year, he is now 3-0 against the Lightning. And has let in like what, 1-2 goals in those three games? Yeah. I mean, it's been unbelievable. But, you know, again, I thought the Lightning played a good game. I mean, you look at some of the stats, they had 34 shots on goal to the Islanders, 17, by the way. Faceoffs, 50% in the faceoff circle. Power play even got one in this game. They were 1-4, but, you know, still at least got one. So much to like in this game. And they end up losing it in the shootout. The shootouts, we know the Lightning have been it's tough sledding for them sometimes. They got a lot of great shooters, but as good as Johansson has been to help fill in without Vasilevskiy, it's eventually going to come back to bite you.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, you know, a carbon copy of the previous two games we played against the Islanders. I'm glad we're done with them. You know, it sucks we only got, you know, 1 point out of a possible six against them and, you know, three total goals across three games. So, yeah, it's a bummer. You can pretty much take exactly what we said last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever we had to cover, you know, any of those games, and just insert it right here because it's, you know, a little more of the same. You covered a lot of it already. Thought you were the better team and still just they're playing a suffocating brand and just kind of get, you know, some, you know, lucky's not the right word, but, you know, they take advantage of, you know, some breakdowns and bad situations. I know the one play, it was the Max Crozier. He kind of fell down, didn't get the read correctly, and I think it was Matt Barzal. I can't remember who the goal scorer was, but just blew right past Crozier, who just had a bad read, and it was just, you know, one moment of weakness in the game that they ended up taking advantage of and turned into a goal. So, it really does suck, but again, I'm glad we're done with playing these guys now because they have our number this year. They're mad. I mean, you know, what's the Lightning's record, you know, against Columbus since the infamous 2019 sweep? It's pretty good, the Lightning's number, their record against them. I think the because, you know, you hate that team. You hate them. I don't think there's a team that the Islanders hate much more than the Lightning. You stole, you know, back-to-back Stanley Cup Finals appearances from them. You were the better team in both those series, but still, they, you know, they get up for these games. Even with a pretty weak record, let's say if it was 3-7, they get up for these games, and it's readily apparent this year especially.
I can't lie. It's a team I would not want to see the playoffs right now if I'm the Tampa Bay Lightning, because they've just had our number. And sometimes that's the way things go. Credit to the Islanders. But it's been tough sledding for the Bolts. But at least they were playing well in that game. So you do take a little bit of confidence out of that. One game the Lightning did play well and did get the results was the game against the New Jersey Devils, Matt. They take that one by a final score of 8-4. Not only was this an 8-goal game, but there were 7 different goal scorers in this game. And this has been a thing for the Lightning for a few years now, where they have been really good at spreading the love around. The Lightning don't often have a guy competing for, usually Kucherov will be up there sometimes, but even him, he's kind of like middle of the pack. But when it comes to the points race, the goals race, whatever, the Lightning don't have a lot of players up there because so many of their guys and their points are just so spread out. It's a credit to how good the Lightning's depth is. But 7 different guys get goals in this game. Lightning win it 8-4. And even though the Devils did claw their way back a little bit in this game, another one felt like the Lightning really just had control from the jump.
I'm going to kind of disagree. Despite, you know, getting, you know, 8 goals, I don't think it was a perfect game by any means. I think New Jersey had their chances and took advantage of it. I mean, four goals is, it's not nothing. You know, it's half of what you ended up scoring, but still, four goals against is not something you should be, you know, terribly proud of. There were a lot of chances, and I think there was another shorthanded goal against in this game as well. Or was it? Yeah, I can't remember. But still, I don't think they played great. Again, you played very well, but it wasn't a perfect game by any stretch. You let New Jersey, you know, stay in this game. You know, it was out of reach for 95% of it, but you let them feel good and let them feel confident about themselves, despite, you know, your chokehold offensively. I think the defense did part the seas and just let, you know, let the floodgates open a couple of different times. New Jersey was good about moving up the ice, but I'm, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you're glad you had the goal support for, you know, Johansson and the defense. Those guys kind of took the night off. And there were some good plays by New Jersey as well. But still, I'm focusing too much on the negatives. Like you're saying, Jake, you know, eight goals by seven different people, that's really good. I just wish, you know, you said they're good at spreading the love around. I wish they could have spread some of the goals around this game and then the next game we're going to get to throughout some of the other games we had this week. That would have been really nice.
Oh, no, it is definitely understand. And let me clarify, I'm not saying by any means that this was a perfect game by the Bolts. Mm-hmm. There were definitely some issues in this game, but they were at least, you know, in front and you weren't freaking out about any of the game at any point. And you're right, though, Matt, this is coming off the Lightning's best stretch of hockey when it comes to scoring goals, because they were dealing with all those shutouts, which we'll talk about one here in a little bit. But then, boy, did they turn on the Jets, so to speak, at scoring goals. Eight in this one. And then when they had taken on the Montreal Canadiens the night, couple nights before, they win that one 6-1. This was a really complete game for the most part for the Bolts. 6-1. And you know, I mean, get a number like that put up, you know, you played some good hockey, except for the faceoff circle. That's always been a problem with the Bolts all year long. It was bad in this game, by the way. 30% to Montreal's 69.8%. Holy cow, that's a lot of faceoff loss. But the Lightning still took advantage. They put pucks in the back of the net, and they win this one big.
Yeah, regarding the faceoffs, kind of going back to what I was saying last week, 2 weeks ago, when we played the Rangers and it was just an abhorrent play, faceoff percentage by the Lightning. They've got some really good centers, you know, the Nick Suzuki's and the Jake Evans that they have. You know, they're just not faceoff specialists, but that's, you know, a huge part of their game. That's what they, you know, they're defensive centers for a reason. So they've got some good guys in that department. But, you know, looking aside from that, I mean, a hell of a game from JoJo and a hell of a game from everybody else on the team too. It wasn't like that Devils game where you've got a huge goal spread, but you're still letting, you know, a lot of goals through and covering up some of the weaknesses. I thought this was a much better game. And still, you know, Montreal had their chances. There were a couple fast breaks that they did get, but most of them were shut down pretty well. And you did have a chokehold on this game, going out to a real early lead, chasing a goaltender out. Yeah, I guess you chase goaltenders out in back-to-back games. So not much I can complain about in this game. And I'm glad it was, you know, definitely a bounce-back game that this team needed.
Yeah, they really did need it. And this was the start of them starting to score a ton of goals after they had been – what was it? They got shut. They only scored one goal in three consecutive games, I believe it was, if I'm not mistaken.
It was back-to-back shutouts.
Back-to-back shutouts, exactly. It was not good. It's the bottom line. The offense was really, really stifled. But you look at the two games between Montreal and New Jersey, and the Lightning really did a great job of bouncing back, because things are going to happen throughout the course of the season. So a really nice game for the Bolts. Great to see everybody getting involved, especially too. I know this was a big game for Chucky, which, if you don't know, that is just his nickname is Chucky. I don't know why his nickname is Chucky. I haven't seen that, but
Charles, you know, the nickname is Chucky. So
there you go. By the way, he had a reverse hit in this game on, was it Gallagher? I believe it was.
Yeah.
It was amazing. The Lightning used it as their winning graphic, which was hilarious. And also, he had a ton of friends and family at this game. So cool for him to have a really nice game. He scored a goal in this game, and the Lightning get the win too as well. So that's always nice. All right, let's talk about one last game here before we get to.
Do we have to?
We do, Matt. We do. I know it's a rough one. You know, the Lightning, they haven't lost. Overall, they've been doing good this season, right? We're still sitting in the top three of the division. I don't know if we're still in first anymore after. I know we're still in first place, actually, believe it or not, in the Atlantic Division. So overall, it's been a good season. they cannot win against some of the biggest opponents that we would like them to win against. They've been losing to the Panthers, and they lost to the Toronto Maple Leafs in a shutout fashion. Leafs take this one 2-0 in Toronto. And this was a game, it never felt like the Lightning had a chance. They were just behind from puck drop.
I think I've repressed a lot of this game. I don't think it was as bad as you might be saying, but still there were very seldom chances that really either team had. It was a boring game, you know, 1 or 2-0 game. It's not too exciting, even for the winning team, you could argue. And it was a pretty low event. And that's the way that the Leafs play now. They're not the same run and gun, you know, 6 goals a game type of team anymore. It sucks that you give Dennis Hildeby his first career shutout, but at the same time, there just wasn't much doing for the Lightning this game at all. And, you know, it sucks that it has to come against Toronto, who was, you know, coming off a pretty decent week, and that was a good way to bookend it for them, at least. They're
Lightning did have 29 shots on goal, by the way, in this game. So
it did not feel like it. It felt kind of like, you know, the Islanders with 17 shots. Like, I can't remember too many great chances, and there were a couple of chances actually that did get past Hildeby. I think there were a couple posts that were hit. There was a trickler that he managed to find behind him. I think a Leafs skater defenseman saved a puck from trickling into the net. So a couple of good chances. You could argue that we were the better team, but at the same time, you know, aside from those chances, which I think were early on, Toronto did a good job of just, you know, shutting the rest of the team down. So definitely a bummer. And And it's a huge bummer because, again, you know, you always want to get up for these Toronto games. It's a team, you know, like the Panthers that you hate and you want to win, especially on the road too. If you can steal one on the road, that's great. But just a rough way to start off our week. I'm glad we could repress this to the back of our recap.
Yeah, well, you look at the two bookends of what we had to talk about this week, right? Lost to Toronto, lost to the Florida. Stuff in between was still pretty good for the most part, yeah. But two tough losses on those ends. But again, those things are going to happen. It's not going to be – you're not going to go 82-0, as we well know. And you look at it as a whole over the last, month, let's say now, Lightning are sitting in first place in the Atlantic Division. So, you know, there's still a lot of good to take away from this stretch of hockey that the Lightning have been in. I do think that will change because the Lightning have actually been caught up in games played. Like Montreal, for example, who's at 38 points, 1 point behind the Lightning. They have one game in hand. So a couple things will definitely change in that Atlantic Division. It is so tight all the time. So, but overall, very good. All right, now that we've done that, Matt, let's hit the three stars of the week. So we just talked about all the games, and then we're going to get to the Stadium Series jerseys. Lisa, I know you want to get to that. Trust me, I've got lots of thoughts on
this. We're saving the best for last.
We are indeed. So let's go to the three stars of the week. You know, this was a week where you look at the stats, Matt, and there was a lot of good and a lot to choose from there. Eye test wasn't as good for some of these guys, but you know, I still think the list we came up with is pretty good. Oh, before we get into three stars, this is an honorable mention for me. I know he had two rough games, but I still want to give a shout out to Jonas Johansson because I think he's had to play 7 straight games now with Vasilevskiy out. By the way, Halvorsen was sent back down today, so it does seem like Vasi's finally going to be back very soon. I don't know if he'll play. He could still be a those 2 days off of the Lightning. They could call him right back up. I don't know, but we could see a Vasilevskiy return hopefully soon. We'll get more details tomorrow. But anyway, Johansson had to come in for 7 straight games, and you know that's tough to do for a backup goaltender. And Johansson, for the most part, has played really good this year. He had a couple good games in this stretch, a couple bad ones too. Again, that's going to happen. So I wanted to give a shout out to Johansson.
Absolutely. Now, I'm glad you brought him up. I don't think he, you know, really cracked the stars list, but, you know, what he's done and doing can't be understated. Again, you know, a couple bad games, you know, a couple, you know, stinky goals that went in against him that, you know, I and he would like to have back. But regardless, a couple really nice games as well throughout this, you know, 7-game stretch, whatever how long it's been. I think he's matched or beat his career high in consecutive starts at 7. Which, you know, for a guy who's been a career backup, he's never been a starter in his career. At most, he's been a relief starter, like when Vasilevskiy's been injured. you know, you have to give him some major props here. You know, it's not like you're Jonathan Quick or, you know, another starting goalie, you know, for 90% of your career that now you kind of go into the backup or platoon role where you're used to getting these consistent starts. No, his body and, you know, his game is trained for, you know, a week or, you know, a week and a half between, you know, certain starts, certain games that you play. So it's not an easy task to bestow upon him, but he's showed out and he's done a good job of keeping us above water.
Chencho was in the hot seat all week. Bless his heart. I love that. We do have to give him credit for sure, though. He has kept the Lightning afloat while Vasilevsky has been out. It's been appreciated. But let's get to the three stars of the week, some guys that really did stand out. And I'm excited for this first one, Matt, for our number three star, because this is a guy that he's really making a name for himself right now, and he's even making an argument for maybe some trophies the way his season has gone right now at the end of the year, and that is none other than J.J. Moser, who gets the third star of the week. Great stuff from him. His defensive game has just been unbelievable. Did have two goals and two assists for 4 points and was a plus four. But again, that defense is what was really stood out from J.J. Moser. If you get that offense going, Norris, maybe. But from the defensive perspective, he's been fantastic.
If there was a defensive defenseman of the year award, which there should be, the Nick Lidstrom trophy or something like that, JJ would be, you know, my pick for it right now. You know, like you said, you know, 4 points, two goals, two assists this week. That's great and all, but I'm here for the defense, and he does a great job of shutting things down. Like, he's not an oversized guy. He doesn't really use his, his physique to shut these plays down. Like, he's just a smart and good, you know, drive the plays wide, good stick and good positioning. And everything he does, you know, kind of turns to gold in, you know, the defensive aspect of it. He's a coach's dream to have. And, you know, despite Connor Geeky, who's kind of up in the air, this is the biggest piece that we got back in the Sergachev trade. And, you know, even if Geeky doesn't turn out, you know, it's not all for naught. So the way JJ is playing, JJ Moser, you know, you already had a plethora of offensive-minded defensemen with Sergachev, Hedman, now Radish, you know, coming into his own. It's great that we're getting another shutdown defenseman. He is really doing a great job with the absence of two other great shutdown D-men in Chernak and McDonough right now. So, God, I love JJ Moser, and I'm glad he's really starting to play like JJ Moser.
Should be mentioned too, not only was Cernak, Lilleberg, McDonough, and now Hedman out until the Olympics. His expected return is not until February 1st, I believe, which is right when the Olympics start. So he is going to be out for a while. So Lightning's still dealing with so many injuries on that back end. Great to have JJ Moser. He gets a third star of the week. All right, going to the number two star, Matt. I know you're excited about this one because this is a guy that, oh boy, did he have a tough start to the season. But hey, as of late, starting to heat up a little bit maybe ever since he got back from injury, and that is Braden Point. He gets the number two star of the week. Point this week, 2 goals, 5 assists for 7 points, and was a plus four. So nice to see Braden Point starting to get back on the score sheet here. Hopefully this leads to some consistency.
Jake, I'm not happy about this at all. I'm really not. Because I traded him away from my fantasy team.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I traded him away, and he's starting to look like, you know, himself again. Maybe a little different because, you know, the assists are outweighing the goals right now, and that's not very Braden Point of him. But when he got that, you know, first goal, you know, coming back from injury, you made me eat crow. You know, I was cheering for him for sure, but it was already after I had made that trade, so – you know, it's always good to see, but you know, in the real aspect, in the real world, I'm stoked to see him starting to look like himself again. I did, you know, kind of complain a little earlier in the show about, you know, where he is in the bumper spot, but you know, one, you know, minor little thing, like, you know, even take away the stats, he's starting to look like himself again. And, you know, Braden Point is very, you know, core Braden Point. You know exactly what he looks like. The eye test does a lot for him, and he wasn't passing it earlier in the season. Hopefully that, you know, injury he had to deal with was what he was dealing with before while he was just kind of looking a little eh. He looks a lot better this week, so I'm glad, you know, we're getting him back. Hopefully, ideally, and probably, he'll be, you know, his regular self by the end of the season.
Absolutely. And we know these guys listen to this show, obviously. So Point, see you get up to the number one star next week, and then we'll be really firing on all cylinders here. But Braden Point, the number two star. Number one star, Matt, I don't know if you would have told me at the start of the year if this guy would have been the number one star. I think I might have called you crazy. I don't think anybody saw this coming. But boy, has he been absolutely fantastic, and I am here for it. It is none other than Darren Radish, the Bald Eagle. Man, this guy's been fun to watch. He's playing pretty darn good defense right now, and he's scoring. He's got four goals this week, two assists, six total points, and was a plus three. Darren Radish really stepping up right now.
Yeah, if you told me a year ago that, you know, I would have Darren Radish on my fantasy team, if I would have him in, you know, just the outside of the Norris conversation, which I kind of do, I would call me crazy. I would call you crazy. I would block you. Like, that's just insane to even comprehend, you know, 365 days ago. I would not believe that even slightly. But man, he's proving me wrong. And that's what I, you know, always beg of these players that I do criticize. And I criticize a lot of them, and probably none more than Darren Radish over the last couple of years since he's been with the team. And, you know, even at the start of the season, he was up and down. He was healthy scratched, a couple of games. But man, he has taken that, you know, number one offensive D-man role and sprinted with it. He is scoring and soaring like an eagle. Terrible joke, but
nice.
I'm glad that he's, you know, starting to hit the net. I don't really notice many or any defensive lapses in his games. He's really cutting off angles. He's, you know, laying big hits. He had a big one in the Islanders game, I think it was. Like, he's playing physical. We know, you know, he can lay a big hit. Man, he can. Yeah, that's a good point, too. I was about to say, he has a cannon of a shot. That's why I was so upset about it. He just misses the net, because if he can get that on net, if I was a goalie, I'd be moving out of the way of it. But if it's going wide, it's not dangerous about, you know, for anything. So I'm glad that he's starting to hit the net. The defense that he's actually playing, not just the offense, the defense he's playing. He looks like a man possessed by anybody other than the Darren Radish that I know. He looks like prime Paul Coffey right now. And God, I hope he can keep it up. I know, you know, when Victor came back, you know, he was still not on the power play unit. They left it to Radish and Destu. So, you know, ideally in a perfect world, Victor comes and takes his job back, because that's what, you know, we pay him to be. That's what we have him here for. That's what we, you know, his job has been his entire career. But until that happens, God, Darren Radish, keep playing the way you're playing. Don't change a thing.
Well, and even if he goes down to power play two, he could really elevate that section of the power play. Well, he really never had, to be honest with you. So, you know, keep it up. Radish has been absolutely fantastic and a well-deserved first star of the week. So there's our three stars, J.J. Moser, Braden Point, and Darren Radish. Let us know down in the comments below. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Is there anybody we missed? We'd love to hear what you guys have to say, as always. Lisa, here another comment quick too. He liked to just hit under the crossbar. Yeah, he sure did. Radish always with his shots. He never quite know where they're going to end up, but luckily as of late, they've been going in the back of the net, which has been great to see. All right, big topic conversation now, Matt. Oh, I know what some of you have been waiting for. Let's talk about it. The Lightning have released their Stadium Series jerseys for this upcoming Stadium Series game, which everybody's super excited about. And I know there's been some confliction, and I know there's a lot of people, including myself, been trying really, really, really hard to like these jerseys and find the positives. But Matt, I got to say, I am extremely disappointed in these jerseys. Me and you have talked about this a lot, and it's fitting that it's actually me and you right now that are talking about the jerseys. But here's the analogy I used. I thought the Lightning were thrown a fastball right down the middle of the plate, easy as can be, just swing. And they tried to swing for a curveball. That's kind of what it felt like they did in this jersey release. So I'll throw up some pictures, Matt, while you can talk here, because I put some in so people can see them. If you haven't seen them, I don't know if this is going to work, but there we go. Okay, nice. So those are the jerseys. Matt, there are some things that I do like in these jerseys, but I just feel like they missed the mark.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. The details on the jersey are great. But if the first thing I think about when I'm complimenting these jerseys are the details, That's an issue. The overall, you know, grand scheme of the jersey, I don't really like it. It looks like you're trying to be the 2009 Pittsburgh Penguins, but you got it right there, the shoulder patch. If that was the crest, I know people are indifferent on the circular logos and all that, but it's better than a word mark, especially an abbreviated word mark like TBL. I'm not a fan of that, but, you know, the armbands as well. I think they did a great job in the embossing or whatever you want to call it. All the little details, the lightning bolts in the letters themselves, really cool idea, but it just misses the mark. The blue isn't our blue, or at least that light blue isn't. It doesn't really look like a Stadium Series jersey either. They're usually kind of, I don't even know. I'm terrible with, you know, architecture and art design, whatever. But, you know, they're usually edgy and coarse and hard and cool and electric. These just seem kind of meh. I'm not a fan. And like you said, Jake, you know, we've done entire shows, like multiple shows, on just what we want it to be and what it should be, hoping that we can spread our word out into the ether. And hopefully, you know, somebody that's working on these can hear it and take a little bit. Again, I'm glad they slightly leaned into the pirate, you know, Raymond James Buccaneer Gasparilla theme. But man, again, if we could have just got the, you know, what we, and this might sound ungrateful, but what we were asking for, and I think everybody was on the same page. They've never missed with the Gasparilla jerseys, and I get it. It's the Stadium Series. You also want these jerseys to pop. You don't want a black or beige, brown jersey, whatever it might be. You want them to be bright and vibrant. But I think
that's the thing. They could have done that with still the pirate themed logos and the pirate Gasparilla jerseys. Because to be honest with you, you know, you look at the color. I'm going to bring them back up here. You look at the colors of these jerseys. I don't completely hate the color. I know some people did it where instead of that darker navy, it was black and then the light sky blue. But, you know, the colors I don't hate. It's more the TBL that I'm not a crazy fan of. So, where's the Gasparilla? That you got to lean into that. The logo for this event is a pirate ship. There's a pirate ship in the darn stadium, for goodness sake. And I know those details are in there, but let me see that. You said it, Matt, right? The Gasparilla jerseys have been such a major success. Why didn't we do that?
Yeah. You said it best, you know, a fastball, just a softball down the middle. Like, it's the easiest thing in the world, and you whiffed on it.
They got too cute. They got too cute with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, these could be, you know, amended easily if they just change the logo. I've never been a fan of wordmark logos, especially the diagonal ones. Never a fan of it, especially abbreviated ones. And the color scheme you might be able to sell me on, but if they just went with a traditional-ish logo, this would have been better. And I know I might sound like a hypocrite here as well, because the former Stadium Series jerseys that we played in Nashville, didn't those have bolts across the chest? Across.
I don't mind the bolts. I like those jerseys, the Stadium Series from Nashville game.
I thought those were amazing. You know, they really played into the, you know, the edge work and just everything looked symmetrical. I thought those were just as good as they could be, but these just missed the mark. It's so big. The TBL is huge, and I'm not a fan. I want to hear what your guys' thoughts are. Lisa, I see that you're saying you like them, but you're a girl, so that's a little different.
She did. I was going to bring that up at some point. Yes, some comments in here. Lisa, she loves them. And you know what? That's okay. I know there are some people that do enjoy them. And again, I don't think they're terrible.
No.
Because I know there was some initial when the leaks were coming out, people were like, holy cow, these are really bad. I don't think they're awful. There are some things I like about it. Again, I like the colors. I like some of the details in it. It's more the TBL than anything that I think bothering me the most. Lisa also said they're better than Boston's. Yes. I haven't looked at Boston's a ton. I think they're kind of plain and really like nothing going on with them. So
they also
Boston, but by the way, here's the Stadium Series jersey from Nashville. And by the way, the numbering design is exactly the same on these new ones that it is on these. And I think it might have even said in those pictures that I had brought up earlier. I don't know if it's in there. Let's see if I can see quickly. Yeah, if you look here, the Outdoor Heritage, it's you know, they claimed it as Outdoor Heritage, right? And like, oh, we're doing a callback to our other outdoor games. It's lazy. That's how I kind of see it. I think it's lazy. By the way, it's better look at the numbers at the back.
No, I think the font itself is actually really cool. I'm kind of glad they did that, but I can't get over TBL. Again, it's huge. It's massive. Like, you could have even, I don't know, if you wanted to do a different kind of word mark, like, I don't know, play into like sabers or something, like a pirate cutlass or sword or something like that. I'm sure there's something that you could have leaned into that pirate aspect a little bit more from. Like,
well, so Matt, you mentioned the logo, right? In the shoulder patch you really liked. Well, I did put in, Eureka, our producer, put this one up specifically. I've seen a couple people make some edits of this, but here it is. What could have maybe looked like if you had had the shoulder patch in the middle. And I think these are better. I still think they're great. Kind of what you said, Matt, I'm not crazy about circle logos. They can work sometimes, but this is more of what I was expecting.
Yeah. Is it not better? It absolutely is by, you know, tenfold. It is better, especially the little detail. I love that. The lightning bolt through the skull. That's awesome. Cause it's the perfect blend of, you know, the Buccaneers and the Lightning. Like, that is what
I've done just that. Like, forget the Tampa Bay Lightning around this. So that takes away the circle aspect, because I know some people aren't fans of that, but just that skull in the middle would have been really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and another thing too, I really do like the details on the sleeves there. I don't even really know what exactly they are, but you won't even know they're there. You can't even tell that they're there unless you have the jersey in your hands. So yeah, I did see somebody with one last night. I wish there was some sort of outline or something that, you know, my eyes could see. I guess it's not the main part or focal point of the jersey. It might actually clash with it, but I think that'd be kind of cool. But like you already said, like Lisa said, they're better than Boston's. Again, we got to be grateful for what we have. They are much better than Boston's jerseys. Those just kind of look like, meh. They tried to do the same thing with that, you know, textured embossed design, but you can't really tell what it is, and it's right at the bottom of the jersey. But to me, it's just a basic, you know, mostly yellow jersey with, you know, a fat, ugly looking bear on it. I mean, it was just a swing and a miss for both teams, but at least, you know, we fouled it. They just struck out looking.
You know, again, I think a big part of the problem is that just the expectations of the Gasparilla, and you don't really, they do some of the design elements with that, but I think that was the biggest missed opportunity here, and that's what people wanted. Listen, I said this in a chat that I'm probably going to convince myself I like them enough to still buy one anyway, because I have, as you may have seen, a lot of Lightning jerseys. For the last couple of years, I've bought basically all of them because I'm a sucker and they're going to get my money. I will say this, Matt. I do really like a lot of the Stadium Series merch, which you can just go out and get in general. I'm going to try to see if I can do this and share my screen really quick.
You know why? Because there's no stupid, ugly word mark on it. Because they leaned into the shoulder patch logo and everything else. Again, you're going to have to sell me on the color scheme. I don't know if I'm huge on that light blue.
Can you see, Matt? I don't know if – can we see the
– I can't.
No, I don't – oh, wait. Here it is. Here it is. Here it is. Here we go. There we go. So here's the merch page. Okay, I'll just show you guys. You got the TBL, some of that, but even though, you know, like the flag one here, I think is really cool. You got the logo that we were kind of talking about that maybe wish on the jersey. I like a lot of the polos with the patch logos just, you know, in the corner there. A lot of cool hats as well. But yeah, I think there's a lot of cool merch that they came up for the Stadium Series. It's just more of the jerseys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think, you know, what kind of allures me with the previous Stadium Series jersey that you just brought out is they were simple, but also, like, not just basic. They were simple, and the full kits, they looked really good with the white gloves, and, you know, they matched well with the pants as well. By the way. Pardon?
Do you see the what I just noticed in these polos right here? I can't hover over it, but the in between, it's like a Lightning logo where the buttons are and that Lightning. Do you see that?
Kind of cool, kind of cheesy.
$80.
Cool. It's a little addition. It's both.
I do like those polos though.
No, I mean, it's a little bit of both, but and one thing I was thinking too, when we saw the leaks, you're like, okay, I want to see what it looks like with the full uniform, and usually that saves it. Like with the alternates, we have the I don't even know what the name's for them. I call them the back the blue jersey because that's kind of what they look like. I was not sold on them, and then I saw them with the full uniform, the matte black helmets, and you know, just really leaning into the blackness of the jersey with the, you know, the little blue and white accents. They grew on me. I like those jerseys. Even if people think they are cursed, I like those jerseys. Seeing the full outfit, seeing the full uniform, I was not a huge fan of. So it didn't make it much better. They've grown on me since they've dropped, but it's still, I desired more. I was hoping for, you know, just a different angle.
It's the Gasparilla expectation and how well that they've done that in years past. And it just felt like they missed the mark. I think that they didn't want to be cookie cutter. They didn't want to go, oh, well, we've always done this Gasparilla. We're just going to do that again. But I think that's what they needed to do. I think they overthought it. Real quick, too, I'll show you the one that I was hoping for. Something like this.
Yes.
The image is not great. It's a little blurry there. But like, oh my goodness. Yes. Yeah. And that's the Gasparilla. And you can still do, you know, even if you want to take this jersey and do the colors of that they did for these actual ones, fine. I'll put the Gasparilla logo. That was the big thing. Ben here says, by the way, anything but letters. I like the detail in the letters, but you could also have so many cool logos to use just to go full Utah Hockey Club. Yeah, I 100% agree with that, Ben. And that we kind of talked about with the one we showed, the design with the shoulder patch logo in the middle, or as we just came up here with Matt, with like just the skull part as the actual logo. Like that would have been really cool.
If you could bring up the mock-up jersey you just showed again. Did you make that? I know we did a couple jersey shows a couple of years ago. This one.
I did not make this.
If
I don't know who made it, but shout out to whoever did.
Shout out whoever did it. It's a great jersey. But what they could and should is, I don't think it's too late. You know, give people refunds. Go back to the drawing board. On the actual Lightning logo, just do what you did with the logo on the actual jerseys with the little lightning bolt going straight into the skull. It'd be perfect.
Oh, yeah. It would be a little crack. Yeah, exactly.
It'd be perfect. And leave the swords as well. I love the swords.
Yeah, I'm 100% right there with you. By the way, another comment here for Ben. The regular merch and hoodies look nice. I may get a jersey, but I really still want the reverse retro with the flames on it. I have that one myself. Yes, it's fantastic.
That's the best.
There's no question about that. But let us know in the comments down below. What do you guys think of all the Stadium Series merch and what you might be getting? Because I'm definitely going to be buying something. I think I'm going to get one of those polos. I really like the polos. Those are nice. And that's something you can wear more in Florida more often. So we'll see if I end up making a purchase on one of the jerseys. There's a strong possibility that I do. Because I'm a
treat yourself, player. Jake. Do it.
Yeah, you know, maybe. We'll see. I do want to wait, though, because I don't know if you can get your name and number on them right now. I know the teams are a little weird with that sometimes. I know there's other companies out there like Cool Hockey, though, that will eventually have them and you can get your own. I like to personalize my stuff. That's just me. But I can't say this, Matt. If you're 100% against the Stadium Series merch and you just don't like it, hey, that's okay. I know where you can go to get some other merch, and that is shop.rblrsports.com. And don't forget, you can use code BOLTS to get 10% off your order as well. Lightning, Rays, Rowdies, Bucks, Sun, all those teams inspired merch. We've got it for you guys. Links, as always, are in the description below. Use code BOLTS to get 10% off your order. Get a cool t-shirt. Support the show. We really appreciate it. Be sure to go check that out. So, well, Matt, I think that's about going to do it for us. We covered a lot in this show today.
It was a long one.
Oh, you know what? We did not talk about the upcoming schedule for the Bolts. Let's do that real quick. Yeah. I do want to mention that. So three games upcoming for the Lightning here. We have the game against the Kings on the 18th, that one at 7 p.m. Eastern. And then all these next three games, by the way, at Benchmark International Arena. They will play the Carolina Hurricanes on the 20th at 7 o'clock Eastern. And then you will have the St. Louis Blues on the 22nd. That game also at 7 p.m. Eastern. And then you will have the four-day Christmas break, which, by the way, shout out to the NHL for doing that. So many teams and leagues now play on Christmas Day, which is great, you know, when you're at home watching football or basketball, whatever you're into. But I do love that we still have those 4 days off for that for the players and their families. So have that break. Those are the next three games coming up for Colts.
Yeah, it should be an easy week for us, you know, coming into this. We had to cover five games today and a jersey drop. So, you know, only three games. Hopefully they're pretty simple. You know, I'd like to walk away with, you know, three wins, but that's easier said than done. Having the Blues come into town, that should be a good confidence boost for us. But you know how this team is. You never know which way they're going to go. Kings, they just lost their starting goaltender, Darcy Kemper. Mikko Rantanen and his villain arc, he's just taking people out left and right. So, ideally, you win that one, but we've seen how the Lightning are playing against these teams that just play boring, stifling hockey. It might end up going the wrong way. You know, like the Islanders, they just stifle you in every direction. That's kind of the way the Kings play. Hopefully, we don't fall into that same trap. And then the Hurricanes, that's a big one. That's a team you're fighting for first in the conference with right now. So that's actually should be a fun game. Should be a fun game, a good game to watch, and an important game. But all, you know, all of these points are necessary right now because even Florida, you say we're, you know, we're first in the division right now. They're only three points. They're only 3 points away from us. So
Very,
and how many other teams are, you know, within striking distance, 1 or 2 points away from us? So the every point is important right now.
100%, 100%, and hopefully we'll have 3 wins to talk about when we come back to you next week. That'll be the hope. We'll see how they play. I expect that they can jump back in here and continue to do well. So that's going to do it for us, guys. Eureka really wants to get in here and say something. But that's going to do it for this episode. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in once again. Don't forget to follow us on social media at RBR Sports, at RBR Lightning. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Ring that bell for notifications so you don't miss out when we do go live. You can join the conversation. But with that said, we'll see you guys next week. Go Bolts.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.